This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
I call the meeting to order. Start with the pledge. Some stupid person put it the other side.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next up is our roll call. We are missing three tonight. Good?
Thank you.
Yep. Public comment. Has anybody signed up for public comment today?
No.
Additions to our acceptance of the agenda. We just thought this one up, but we need to authorize the superintendent to commit to contracts for combination school agreements of the WHSSA type, like the ski program we did last year, or other ones that don't cost, well, we don't have to commit to funding these at this time. The parents are going to take care of it.
But it's under the same protocol. As long as it doesn't cause additional funding, instead of coming to you as a board, you're granting me permission to make those decisions and approve all combination school agreements by the Wyoming High School Activities Association, as long as there's no cost to the combination school agreement. If there's a cost, then it will come to you
then
under the board.
It comes to the board, and we've got to talk that over.
Yep.
But I'd like to add that as an action item. It'd be our third under action items. We'd have A, B, and then C. Would be authorize the super to sign contract.
Combination school agreements.
I would entertain a motion to make that addition.
So moved.
And a second, if I could.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
The only discussion I would have is, Charles, will you let us know what schools we're getting into agreements with, please?
That's part of the requirements we wrote last time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else? All in favor of modifying the agenda to include the authorization, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign? Right on. Thank you, guys. Okay. Anybody got anything else that we need to add in or tack on? Then I take a motion to approve the agenda as modified.
So moved.
Second.
You got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Righto. Report time. District levels. Anybody got a question for our district level reports?
Jan, where do you want to ask that?
I'll ask that down at the.
Okay.
I wanted to tell Val thanks for the little extra. I really like the 504 versus that individual education plan. Not the other one I was saying. Anyway, I thought that was really a fun little video to watch, and it helped me clarify some of that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Kristen.
I think our district level reports really demonstrated how summertime is not break time.
Yeah, it's on
here.
Isn't it?
It's kind of the meat of the matter to get ready for the new year and to keep things going and time for training. So everyone's very busy, and they have a lot of good stuff going.
Working hard and getting it done in the admin office. I agree. But okay. No questions there. We'll move on. Superintendent report. Mr. Superintendent. Anybody got questions?
So any questions for me from the board on my presentation?
So, Charles, can I ask, when did that come on? I went through stuff last night and wasn't there.
So my superintendent's report came on Sunday night. I did not realize it was not linked. It was done 2 weeks ago. So I linked it late last night about, I think, 7:30.
Oh, no, it was earlier than that because I read it. It was about 5.
Yeah. 4 to 5, wasn't it?
No.
So I didn't get to read it. So I'll read it.
Okay.
It's still there.
But did you know it was awful fun? The best in the West school district portion was sort of fun to read.
I like the gratitude.
Yes.
Motivational video.
Other questions?
So, Mr. Chair, I will double check next time. There's a series of events that happened last week that I will double check to make sure that it is linked. So I have that on my to-do list.
Excellent.
Our superintendent is now an outlaw in-law, so that's why he was busy.
He did have a couple of other things to deal with recently.
He's an in-law.
I don't know. We don't want that. Yeah. That's a Sheridan problem, not us. Sorry. Director's report.
Mr. Chair?
Jan, please.
Mr. Zink, don't you want to get up and celebrate and shoot off some fireworks and jump up and down and
probably
say...
Probably didn't happen. Not signed off yet.
2 o'clock tomorrow?
2 o'clock tomorrow.
Can we have a ride then?
If you care to take that risk.
I'll take that risk.
I'm taking that little dance party.
They're there working on it right now.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
So, John, I had to read that twice. It said... The crew will be here Monday 8th with the governor. And I thought, why is Mark Gordon coming?
I was just going to say, I read it the same
you
way.
The same. Yeah, then I had to read it again. Oh, wait a minute, the governor for the elevator.
Yep.
This elevator has hit the Cheyenne, so I'm sure he's aware of it.
Finally had to call him in to get parts, yeah. But he did it.
I read that, and then I had to read it out loud to my family. And said, what do you know with the governor? I said, think about it, though, longer.
So I asked John earlier, and John, so the water in all the fields is up and working now?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Yep, we've had a lot of breaks this year. Just the stuff in the ground getting old.
Yeah, and maintaining those polys is difficult over time.
Yeah, it's all PVC. It's thin wall,
flood
pipe, sewer line. There's everything.
So a good tackle can fracture a line on the football field.
Yeah.
Great.
But football fields, nice and green, except for one spot where they're doing their kicks and stuff, but it's nice and green.
Good.
The high school?
Yeah. Coming back.
Your concrete project's progressing good? I saw some demo
going on. Yeah, they're getting behind schedule. Casey's pretty well wrapped up.
Good.
They got some lines painting the parking lot. They were supposed to start pouring Wednesday at Clear Creek. They're behind. They're hoping Friday now.
Oh.
The soil there is, because of groundwater.
Yeah, more challenging.
If they dig, water comes up. So they're trying to get to compaction. They've scarified it all up, trying to do this hot temperature.
Turn
to melt.
Dry it.
And then compact. And then they snagged the main water line there today and flooded the whole site. So.
Oh, perfect. So next Friday then.
Yeah.
John,
Mr. Chair.
Mezzanine?
An elevated platform above the space. If you're referring to New West, the bathroom there's a mechanical mezzanine up there. Before that building was turned into what it is now, there used to be a drive-through garage. So above the restrooms is the hot water heater and the furnace for that main area in those classrooms. That has to be moved in order to construct these new bathrooms. Because the support wall has to turn, and we can't support it.
Yeah,
so is it kind of like a free space?
Yeah.
Where you build a yeah.
Yeah, there's a frame up there and a deck above ceiling, and everything's up there. So it's all going to move to the other mezzanine above the garage.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So.
Mr. Chair, John, I do one quick question for you. The parking lots all look really nice. The painted lines, everything looks really good. I'm not sure of your duties with the collaboration with the city, but with school starting in a little less than a month, I've personally called myself the last 2 years to Les Hook, who is the City Works manager.
Now retired.
Who is now retired, and it's now Kevin Silvernagle. So my question for you is there some collaboration with the city to make sure that all of our sidewalks on Burritt and on Gatchell and on DeSmit and then anywhere else, like leading to the high school and those bike lanes, they typically repaint them, but it typically the schedule has been the week after school starts or the week of school starting. So just a thought. I didn't know if that was something that you do, John, or...
I usually reach out to them
in
the summertime and ask for a schedule, and it's usually the week that school starts.
Yeah.
The week after.
Okay. I just didn't know if we wanted to be a little bit proactive since we have an opportunity with a new
public works manager to maybe make sure that that's priority so that they're not in the way. And that because it's nice out and there's kids all over riding bikes, e-bikes, skateboards, scooters, all the things. And I personally have called the last 2 years questioning. And it's always, it's on the schedule, but it's always late.
Yep.
So,
always late.
Okay.
The city always runs and they always tell me it's on our schedule. This is when we do it. Because it's always concern every year at Clear Creek.
Mm-hmm.
For school, for the kiddos crossing, go to football practice.
And
it's usually the week the school starts, they come out there and pay
in. And I don't know if they really, if with the one that they set up on Burritt, like kind of up behind those bus lanes too, or not Burritt, sorry, it's DeSmit, which it's like right behind the bus lanes, that's another one that really, that they usually get. But those ones on Burritt with all those kids and that one from going from the soccer fields to Cloud Peak, like, I'm telling you, that one's busy.
And they put that red brick in there for that, that crosswalk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you see the corners, but I'm just saying, like, the lines, I don't know. I just think it's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
thanks, John.
I'll make sure I reach out to them.
Awesome. Thank you.
Anybody got questions for...
Go ahead, John. Charles and I received some news. Well, he called and told me some news. by tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we have to have some items put together for component funding. The state can go and try to put a budget together. And so we got to work tomorrow and create the list and itemize it, priority. And they're going to go to bat. He got a call from John Rexis at the state today. So hopefully coming up, we'll have some component projects coming up that major maintenance can't sustain to pay for. They're above that $1 million mark.
So with that process, part of everything that we did when we did our facility studies and we brought all that to the table and then they brought some things, they're just behind the eight ball. So John called and apologized and said, but you have 2 days to see where we're going to be. So we're going to give it to him tomorrow. There's no guarantee, but at least we're in the pipeline for component projects. Out of that, of those $20 million worth of facilities. So called John, called Levi. We cleared our schedules for tomorrow morning to sit down and come up with at least, I think we agreed to the top eight. So we can at least have some skin in the game and potentially get some component level funding, which then will free up major maintenance funding for some of the other projects. So that's exciting. We've been talking about it for 2 years, so that's kind of the ball starting to roll now. And the reason it's rolling is because the state just opened the door. So we've been prepared. So now it's starting to put the wheels in motion, and we'll see where it lands.
Awesome. Good work, you guys.
Good news, but, you know, there's baby steps.
Yeah, lots of work to do tomorrow.
Get it out there.
But my celebration for you as the board and the community to know is there's been a lot of work put into this. I mean, I appreciate the fact is you allowed me to go out and get a study of our facilities. We put some things together so we can start creating that 5 to 10 year plan. We know there was over $20 million when it first came out. That's probably more like $25 million now because the cost keeps going up. But we're in line to start getting in the pipeline for component projects. So that's part of the whole budget, what we're trying to do to align our budget, start doing long-term planning. So we'll see where this lands, and then we'll learn from it, and then we'll go for the next round, which is in 2 years. Okay?
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Bill, a quick question. Will you know where I had trouble logging into your report? Will you always send it that way, or was that a glitch? Or?
I think that was a little glitch in the system. I sent it over to Heidi on Thursday, and so, yeah, I went in, changed the access from restricted to everybody, so I appreciate that. Yeah, you reached out to me, and Travis did about the same time as well, so I was able to get that put in, so.
You had it turned around faster than I could go back. Oh, I didn't even finish reading my report.
Yeah, I got that, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, maybe I sent it restricted, so I apologize for that.
No, it's all good. My favorite trick is reply all. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I do like how you ended it. Accident free.
Yeah. 23-24 school year. Yes, well done indeed. You guys did good.
It's a huge accomplishment. I wanted to highlight that, you know, so thousands upon thousands of miles that we do. Last year we were accident free. So kudos to my crew, the drivers, and everybody, as well as the community for, you know, understanding that the buses are in route, and everybody's been really good with working with us on that. So That's a huge mile marker for us. We want to do that every year.
Yeah, just transporting the future. Keep that going. So, yeah, good call. Anything else? Director reports. All right. Rec board is not going to happen tonight. Marcia had another engagement. BOCES.
Just like we are doing, we approved the 24-25 budget. Had the budget hearing, just like we're doing tonight. Approved the budget.
Okay. BOCES.
So with BOCES, we will have a Zoom meeting to set the agenda July 15th at 3:30, and then we'll have our meeting July 31st at 5:30 to 7:30 at Sheridan College.
All right.
So with that, Dave, I will be able to attend the Zoom meeting so I know what's going on, so because my schedule's changed a little bit, but I will still be in Casper for the 31st short training. So. Okay.
Jan, you going to be available?
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
All right. Next up is our consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Any additional discussion regarding consent agenda items?
I just have one question. Connie, I noticed on the warrants, there's a whole list, and I'm sure it's the money that the kids have raised, that they, you know, all the travel, all basketball for this and that. Is that... But it comes out of general fund. How does that work? How do they?
Okay, so when you're looking at your warrants and vouchers, and I couldn't find my copy, so Leslie must have picked it up. So does it say agency funds?
No, it was in the general.
It says general, but I know that when they went to camps.
It was a camp that the kids are going to. How is that funded? Don't know. Okay.
I couldn't find my copy, so I'm going to have to come around.
Yeah, come.
I think it was on page 11.
Dahlberg flight tickets, FBLA National.
Yeah, all these activity. Mine were like.
See, they're 80 funds.
Oh, okay. 80.
If the 80 funds are the fundraising funds.
So let me find the one I was looking at.
Okay. I didn't even notice that on the side.
These are 80 funds, too. So it's all 80 funds. It's not general.
Yeah.
See on the side.
Oh, which page did you do that? So let me go back and look.
Yep, they're all.
But it's, isn't it under the general?
But
it's. It's under general funds, but so you have a separate category.
Okay, so see how the.
I do. It's over 01.
So here's the end of 01.
Oh.
So I see. Yeah, so on page 10, everything that's got an 80 in front of it is what they're talking about.
Okay.
Carries down through.
I hate to say this. I've been on the board, and I've never noticed.
I didn't notice that.
I've never noticed the 80 on the side. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, we learned something. Good call. Anything else for the consent agenda? Any other discussion?
Connie, I'm sorry, I meant to ask this earlier too, okay. Just an email, because it's a little question, and it's small potatoes compared to everything else, but it was the flowers for graduation, and it came from, I think, principal operations or budget, mm-hmm. So that graduating class doesn't have to pay for that, that's not their class money, or is that...
You're asking a principal question.
Okay, oh, I'm sorry, okay.
So... They decide how those funds are spent, so,
so whatever
they budget a little bit for graduation, so they may cover some of the things that maybe the students cover.
So that kind of falls under operations of an administrator building leadership, so every building's a little bit different. It could be one community, the class raises the flowers, or it could be something, whatever the traditions of individual schools are, so it could range a little different, but that falls definitely under the operations of the building. So, okay.
I was just going to say, if the kids were paying for it, don't buy us board members flowers.
Yeah, please don't.
I think just to, like, some of me being involved the last couple of years, it also is what gets pushed over from the class before and how the kids are, like, budgeting some of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, my junior class that is going to graduate, we budgeted for it. Like, the kids sat down and made sure, but I don't know that that's how every class operates.
So they kind of got to get what they valued or had.
And then
Gib
kind of helps them make sure stuff is.
Thank you.
What else, gang, for the consent agenda?
Ms. Drosky, noticing under the employment, are we pretty much full?
A lot can happen between now and the start of the school year, but the answer to that is yes, with certified staff.
Certified. Okay. Thank you.
I'm hoping I'm not coming to you with any open positions for the office.
Well,
me too.
May it be so. Anything else?
Mr. Chair, I think it's important to note that we did go through, and I mean, this isn't just something we're throwing out.
No,
we did spend
been a long time at the
long
work,
time
session.
In our
work session,
session,
working these over. That's all true.
That, I mean, nothing was added or taken away, but we did have long discussions.
A little bit added.
And I apologize, because just going through my notes from last year, knowing we're starting activity season, so the addition of that, we could have easily done it in August, but I appreciate you moving it now, but that's definitely something that needs to be on the agenda, whether it's just tonight or it's in August.
Yeah, but every year, this meeting, we should be hitting that.
We should be doing it in July.
Yeah. Did you make a note of that and remind me in a year? Okay. In that case, I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Oh, we have a motion in a second. I just need to... Any other discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same thing. Righto. Okay, next up, we've got our public budget hearing.
I make a motion to enter into the budget hearing for public comment only.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. As a reminder, this is the board's time to listen. No comment here, our discussion will be after this.
So Connie will go through the revisions and then get public comment. If there is any public comment at this point, then we'll go from there. So
perfect.
The 100 was, she worked on it Friday and all weekend. So there's some of the data, some good news within this. With where we're at, we'll try to make this very quick, but if we need to slow down and answer questions, we will, but some of the numbers have changed due to the 100 being here. Okay.
Yeah, rock it and roll it. We're pretty familiar from the last round.
Okay. So as you guys mentioned, I got the email in the middle of the meeting that she put out the final, and then she revised it twice since then. So,
perfect.
So who knows?
So
it's
final,
really. Final or not.
Absolutely right.
So, in the public meeting, I really wanted to come out and just really talk about our vision and mission. Our vision is to empower all students to thrive, and our mission is to unite in cultivating excellence. We're excited about the new strategic plan. So, our new values are integrity, pride, resilience, and respect. Our goals. Goal number one is to enhance the learning of growth through essential academic and life skills. Our second goal is to strengthen culture and engagement. Our goal three is to operate an effective and efficient organization, and that's where I live, and hopefully this budget reflects those goals. So just to talk about the message, we talked a little bit about that, that we just had data, we met with everybody. We contacted the county treasurer, we contacted WDE, the county assessor, and then we want the budget to reflect the objectives based on the needs of the district. One of our top priorities are employee retention, recruitment, building cash reserves, and funding depreciation reserves using a multi-year strategy. And then we're hoping to use all our federal dollars and leverage them and use them as best we can. So student enrollment did not change since Wednesday. So this stayed the same. So we decreased by actual student ADM this year by 16.531. And then our rolling average decreased by 6.319. And over the last 3 years, we've lost 30 kiddos in the rolling average. So this is one of the slides that change our foundation guarantee. Sitting at this moment today is $20,347,825, and that's a difference from last year of $900,000, and it was $838,000 on Wednesday. So we did gain about $61,000 in extra money there. This did not change. The assessed valuation is predicted to be 410. That's $100 million less than it was last year. And then we're going to, hopefully we'll approve the 1 mil for recreation and then a half a mil for Bochy's. So this did change a little bit. We were, I think on Wednesday we said 0.76 FTEs this year, and it's really 0.67, so it fluctuated a little bit from the whatever changes they made from March to July.
Wait, where is the 0.6? Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so on this slide, again, the cash reserve this slide did not change. Just remember 30% now up through June of 26, and it looks like we will be hitting well below that cash reserve this year. Expenditures, this is really the same, but I did want to bring up that we got an ECA, and we put that as much as we could to salaries and benefits. So we increased the base of all salary schedules, and every employee will receive a step or a line, you know, if they are eligible for a line, but definitely a step because we increased those salary schedules by 3 years. So everybody that was sitting there that hadn't got a step in a while now will get a step for the next 3 years. And then I also increased the utilities from the actual cost that we had this year and multiplied that by another 15%, so we make sure we have enough. And then general fund education expenditures are rising, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. This is the same. We want to move $375,000 to depreciation, and we moved $250,000 last year, and that's what we budgeted for this year for food service to move in there. The depreciation is currently at $1.9 million.
We'll talk. Just those in the warrants you did transfer that money.
Yes.
To the depreciation account.
Yeah. Yes. I have to have the budget message. That was part of it. But this is the summary, and I really kind of want to read this word for word because I think this is really important. This is the direction that we're going. The decline in funding is real. The district is hoping to mitigate the risk of using cash reserves to balance the budget. Superintendent Oskey has developed a district stabilization initiative with the support and the approval of the JCSD number one Board of Trustees. Superintendent Oskey believes we can accomplish stabilization by 1, implementing new expectations for the 6-12 master schedule. Number 2, capping district expenditure obligations for activities. Number 3, achieving financially sustainable class sizes. Absorbing teaching positions through natural attrition. Creating and utilizing current staffing resources. And the last, streamlining operations. I wanted to add our strategic goal number 3. It states that we will operate an effective and efficient organization by allocating available resources and utilizing consistent systems and processes with accountability. This budget reflects the goal and also recognizes the need to compensate the employees of the district in a manner that will address not only the retention of current staff, but also recruitment of new employees. And we really believe that this budget is working toward that. So here's the budget overview. Remember, this is the way I have to budget by state statutes, so we budget by function. So we moved this to $25,687,655. So I made a little bit of adjustments. I changed the estimates on the reimbursement for transportation and SPED. So those were a little high, and then I had to reduce those a little bit. So I moved then some things around, and hopefully we can hit. This is less budget by about $61,000, I think. Okay, so the top one is how you normally see it, and hopefully the next little box is how we're going to see it moving forward. We're going to look at general fund activities, transportation, and SPED on the budget, so it makes it a little bit clearer and you can kind of understand a little bit better. Okay, so from this has changed a little bit, and so what I wanted to bring out to you is that it's at 128,138 and not 189.
So we're coming down quite a bit.
Yeah, we're closing in.
Yeah, doing really well. So it looks like a final projection is 879, and I think that was 700 and something. This stayed about the same. This went down a little bit because I manipulated up some things up there, so I think we're looking pretty good at 128,000.
Yes.
Using cash reserves to meet that.
And that changed because you got more from the state.
Yeah. And I also estimated high on those reimbursements, so I had to lower that, but it all kind of worked out really well. Okay. So this is a new slide. I just wanted to talk about, there were some questions about the revenue and expenses. And I just wanted you to see that our revenue, we have enough revenue that will cover the expenses that we set up. Any questions on that slide? And again, this is by function, but it's by function, but by the way, we kind of changed it by department. So it's general fund with no activity, no transportation and SPED in it. Then we have activities, then we have transportation, and then we have SPED. So hopefully we can kind of watch this as we go through the year. Okay, so we have about 79% of salaries and benefits to operations. To the 21% operations. So I just wanted to bring up something that Skyward has allowed us to, and we're close. We are budgeted to almost to the penny on salaries and benefits because they just let us do that. And so all that fluff that was in there is pretty, you know, I was able to make it really look at it and what it's actually going to be. So that helped us with the bottom line. So one of the things that you asked Charles about is everything full. On the general fund side of it, on that first part, yes. And we've got about $55,000 worth of vacancies in activities. So that's coaches and sponsors, right? And then in transportation, we're holding about $119,000 out there for the possibility to do in-town routes. It's not a possibility, but we still have it in there so that we would have that. And then in SPED, we've got a psych. We're trying to still replace the psychologist, and then we've got some paras. Do we have a teacher in there? I can't remember. No, it's just paras and that psych. Okay.
Connie, curiosity question. My data nerd popped up. Can the principals see this that way too, so they can go through and track their budgets like you're talking about?
So they're going to be able to track their budgets any way they want to because of our software.
The new software.
We're almost there. We've got the connection. PowerSchool came in and got involved and threw its weight around.
Uh-huh.
And so finally we've gotten past that. But there's just one more glitch, and so they're working hard on it I talked to him today.
That would be a great tool for them.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I nerded out.
No, that's
Connie, let me be clear what you said, because I'm not. So our salaries and benefits used to run about 81 point something percent. Now it's a 79. You said it was because of some of the fluff in there. Give me an example of some of the fluff and salary.
So it's not so much that it's fluff, that's maybe a wrong number, it's that we couldn't determine to the penny before. So we're guessing, okay, well, I've got five positions open. Where are they going to land? So we throw a little bit in there, and we just added that. Salaries, benefits for activities, they were way high because we're just rolling those budgets over, right? And so maybe they didn't hire somebody 3 years ago, but we're still carrying that over because they've changed the structure of who they're hiring and what they're hiring.
So basically what I'm hearing from you is if you have somebody that's got X amount of years of experience and they resign, retire, you hire somebody less, and that's what you get your salary and your benefits.
Well, some of that, or they...
So can I speak to that real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, for sure.
So what we're talking about here, and maybe the proper word's not fluff, but we cleaned up our system. Our old accounting system had either employees that either weren't existing or it was placed somewhere else. And we, through the adoption of Skyward, as we moved through this, and one of the goals was to get everything into our new system,
yes,
and not have it in a spreadsheet or this is what we do. This is some of the cleanup that happened with that. So as we're putting salaries out, this is part of why we have to have a salary schedule now, so we have a system that actually we put in and it creates numbers instead of guesstimates. That's why some of that kind of falls into that 79 to 80% or 81%. I can also actually sit down and say the information that Connie's presenting to us now through Skyward really solidifies that piece of we can say it's 79 or 80% and 20% of our budget. So all those accounts that really were inactive or there was potentially some budget there that we didn't know about, we're able to start presenting to you as a board actuals, okay? And so we might be off a percentage point here or there, but I feel confident as we learn the system more, we've cleaned up a lot of codes, we've cleaned up a lot of employees in our old system that weren't taken out, so we're going to start seeing real numbers. So that 79%, we can move up to 80%. So now we can start making good decisions. So the reality for me is it was just cleaning up the system and putting employees where they should be in each building so we know how to pay them.
Right.
Because at the end of the month, you should know what your salaries are. Definitely are.
Right. And so, because it was always that budget that was 80%, right? You know, it wasn't really the actual. So now our budget is closer to the actual. So.
Can we wait to the hearing's over to ask questions?
Yeah, we're supposed to be holding our bit till after the public hearing,
okay.
So we'll try to let it run and we can go back into it afterwards.
I didn't know if it's appropriate to ask now, but my question. So wait, okay, I'll wait.
Okay.
All right. So now this is the non-general fund budget that we have to talk about, and this is last year's budget and what we actually spent. So I don't think I need to go through every one of those. You have those in front of you, but all those budgets are clean. We didn't overspend any of the budgets, so we don't have to make an amendment on this at all. So this is going to be our 24-25 non-general fund budgets. And one of the things the auditors asked me to do is to budget by function,
yeah.
Right? So that's why it looks a little bit different. Instead of just having one line for special revenue, I put it in functions. So we're budgeting $3 million for special revenue because we don't have ESSER. The built grant has spent down, so we don't have those high-dollar grants as much. And then we even receive less money, and then we have less carryover as well. So we did a pretty good job spending grant money this year. Major maintenance, that one I may have to come back to you at some point, depending on how... If we get component money, I'm going to have to come back and say, can you give me a budget so we can spend component money? Where were we at?
Bochy's.
We'll not spend $250,000, but that's kind of just that number that we hold in there. Capital construction is $500. Special purpose, which is depreciation, is $500. Debt service, I have $75,000. So remember, we were paying those retirees insurance, and all of it is finished. So we have $75,000, so that $75,000 can come back to general fund. And then food service is $875,000. Teacher's is about $75,000. And then internal services is at $100,000. So the total for that is $8,375,000. Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about depreciation here. So we have $846,000 in First Northern. We have $348,000 in Widgiff. We just transferred $375,000 of this year's budget, and then we have the ESSER supplemental support money, and we used $350,000 of that in FY24, and so now we have a balance of $1.9 million. We're getting closer to that $2.5 million goal. So, remember we talked a little bit about ESSER and wanting to make sure that we're spending ESSER money correctly and that we not have to pay anything back. And one of the things is that we can go back to March of 2020. And so, we took salaries, teacher salaries of March of, the 2021 school year. And we used some of those to download cash. And so, we took that, and then it's paying back general fund because general fund paid for those, right? So it's paying us back on that. And so how we're going to use that, we used $450,000 in FY24, and it's on your warrants and vouchers now, $350,000 to depreciation and $100,000 to internal services. And then for 2015, so we these transfers, so 450 of the transfer is already gone, so we have 80 left, and that's earmarked for food service if we need it. Then we have $851,000 to budget support, supplies and materials and equipment, about $100,000. So we were going to pay for BHS visuals and all that installation, well, that got paid for in our budget for last year, so we'll just use that for any kind of technology that we need on that. And then $110,000 for fitness and health and fitness, which is the weight room, and it came in at about $106,000. So I left it at $110,000 just to be able, if something kind of comes up and we're invoiced for something else. And then contracts, that's HR contracts. We could play, and then some PD special speakers. We're going to use that for that, and so that leaves $1.3 million for FY25 that we have to budget for. So as you can see, I have to budget it by function, and so I spread that out. So that may, anyway, we're predicting we're spending it that way, right? This is supplemental stuff. If something else comes up and you go, well, could we use some of that? Maybe I might come back to you and say we might need to change these functions out a little bit. Okay. So the final general fund budget, and this is just general fund, is the $25,687,655 plus the $1.3 million is the $27,003,329. So that's our total general fund budget for FY25. Okay? And I wanted to separate that because that ESSER supplemental is just a one-time thing. You won't see that next year, right? Okay. So this is where some of the questions came in on Wednesday night. How did we go from $25 million to $35 million? Well, we're at $27,003 because that's the general fund plus that ESSER supplemental, and then the $8 million for all the other funds equals the $35 million. Does that make sense? A better sense now?
Color coding.
I love color coding. I love color. Okay, so this is the budget resolution. This is something that Casey will read when we actually approve the budget. And then some of the things to keep in mind, remember our cash flow is stabilized. And then the transportation reimbursement amounts, transportation sped, there's still estimates. They'll not be finalized until I send those reports in August. And then cuts, most departments took a 5% cut or didn't replace a vacancy. And then utilities, we talked about that a little bit. We increased it for 15% over the actual 2024 cost. And then insurance, our property insurance, auto insurance increased by 10%. And I put that in my report so you guys can see that breakdown. And then we also added cyber insurance, cybersecurity insurance this time.
Yeah.
For about $1 million. That was, we talked about it for 2 years, and we finally got that done. And we also did the gap insurance again this year. So we have certain employees that are covered by workman's comp. They're all that high, the high, I can't think of the word, but the janitors, science teachers, those people that could get hurt more normal. So the rest of us are not covered by workman's comp. So if we got hurt, there's not anything to cover us. So we purchased this gap insurance. And so if I broke my leg, it would pay for what I would pay out of pocket. What insurance wouldn't pay, they'll pay what the out of pocket. So it's up to about $25,000 per incident. So for $1,500, I think it ended up being, it's awesome, beautiful insurance. So we're excited about that. And just again, I want to thank my team. I couldn't have done this without my team. They are pretty awesome. And Charles and his support, and you guys supporting this process. It's been awesome. Awesome. Okay. So that's FY24 budget. So, I mean, 25 budget. Let's talk about FY24. It's separate, and this is not anything you're voting on tonight, but I just want to keep putting it in front of you. This is not the final, because we'll get through all of July. We'll look at all those expenditures. We even found one that we'll have to go back and pay again, because it needs to be a June 30 date. And so this is not final, but we just need to increase the budget by about $367,000 on the main side, right? So we moved around the functions. And then we just added, mostly that's going to be that increase to SPED, the mental health therapist, behavior, and some other contracts that we had to pay that we didn't budget for. And then on the ESSER supplemental support, we went ahead and paid that $450,000 into depreciation this year. And so that would increase that budget by $24,914,000. Well, actually, it would move it up to 367 plus the 450, not the 24.
Say that again.
It's going to increase from 24,097 to 24,914.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I was trying to add that, and that's not what my paper says.
So it's an increase of the budget,
yeah.
But not an increase of 24.
No. That's what I said, and I didn't mean to say that. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, I think that is it. I think. Any questions on that
From the public, any public comment or discussion regarding the budget? Any public comment? Okay. Then I would
entertain a motion.
Yeah, I need to entertain a motion to adjourn the budget hearing and reconvene the regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion from the board? All in favor of reentering the regular meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same time. Righto. Back into regular session, where the next item just happens to be adopting this budget.
Okay.
So I'd entertain a motion regarding the adoption of the budget.
Chairman, I would move to adopt the 25 budget as presented, please.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. Okay, now, everybody dive in with your questions. Discussion time to the board.
Okay, Charles, Mr. Oski, I said this last time, the same question. You know, over and over we look at depreciation. What happens if we don't put that much money into depreciation and put it towards salaries?
So my answer to that question is we have an obligation. I have an obligation as you as a superintendent and as a board of trustees to take care of the whole district. So and part of that is creating a depreciation reserve that buys the equipment, whether it's one-to-one technology, Chromebooks, and things of that nature. So it's my responsibility to present to you a stable budget, which includes the ability to pay for things that major maintenance doesn't and the upkeep of our facilities. When you hear we have $20 million worth of projects, that means we also have some older equipment that has to be replaced. So $375,000, our goal is to increase salaries and do things through that budgeting piece, but we also have a financial obligation to make sure our facilities and our equipment are maintained annually too. So that's part of a very typical budget. Just going back and looking at the initiative, anywhere from 8 to 10% of your budget is reserves in depreciation reserve. So that $2 to $2.5 million is kind of meeting that goal. We're pretty close to that. But ESSER funds have funded a lot of things that we no longer fund, and that's going to be technology. Technology is one of the huge ones that have been funded with ESSER funds, and to replace Chromebooks and equipment is going to be a depreciation reserve. Some of our other equipment, whether it's cleaning equipment, whether it's refrigerators or different things down the road. And if you really look at it, when you have almost 15 different divisions, and just as an example, not picking on Bill, but you got a $60,000 vehicle, that's one depreciation reserve item out of 16. So in that, it does not take long for a building or something else to fix with depreciation reserve. And as I explained to you before, the easiest way to look at it, the way the facilities people look at with major maintenance, you take a building, you turn it upside down, and you shake it. Everything that falls out of it falls out of depreciation reserve and is not paid for with major maintenance. So maintaining our equipment and our facilities is a goal and an expectation that I feel as a superintendent I need to make a recommendation to you, not only to maintain quality staff, but also to maintain our facilities and equipment. Did that answer your question?
Well, it's just a question that's always asked. Is there ever a time where we'll max out the depreciation account?
That's probably not.
Probably not.
Saying that nothing breaks.
Yeah.
So, but for me to come to you and say this, the answer is you as a board. Once you have a safety valve that's set, you can do what you want.
Okay.
The districts that we're compared to, they have a $5 million depreciation reserve, and then people want to know why their building fails. You have a $9 million depreciation reserve. That didn't happen because they got $9 million in 1 year. They were putting $500,000 to $1 million away a year so they could build facilities. That comes to you as a board. If you want to go beyond the $2 to $2.5 million and you want to start saving for long-term projects, that becomes you as a board.
Yes.
Then I will follow that direction. My direction to you as a board is you need to have at least a minimum, because you got to plan for the unknown. Yeah. Because Murphy's Law is tremendous. No matter how much you plan for something, there will be something that comes up, and then we get the wow effect. It really costs that much to fix that or to buy that. Because with this, if it's not paid for with major maintenance and it doesn't qualify for a grant and it's a necessity, and we haven't planned for it, it comes out of our general budget, which then comes away from what we're doing with kids. And under that 20% operations, that I feel that's our obligation to start planning for the future and start moving equipment through as needed. So you're absolutely right. So when you see 79% up on the board of salaries and benefits, our goal is 80. So now with our budget and our new Skywork, we can move closer to 80% or 81%, depending on where you're at. When I started 3 years ago, what did it say in there? We were at $380,000. So we're getting to the point where you as a board can choose. If you want to build a $10 million facility, we can start putting money away for that. But the reality is we're just maintaining a savings account for the Murphy's Law Day or the unpredictable.
Mr. Chair, you have to understand, these are questions that are asked me that I want answers to.
I think that's a great question.
I understand that things break and will always break. So.
But and Jen, I think it's a great question. It's a great question for the community and for teachers to hear. Is
they need to know.
Where are we going to replace our Chromebooks? They've all been done out of ESSER funds.
It's not a choice any longer.
Where are we going to replace some of our staff? Because the technology funding didn't go up.
Right.
We're not getting a huge amount of money because after COVID, we got an infusion of money to put technology and infrastructure in. I can guarantee you that the 100 did not infuse 3 times more money for support of infrastructure, technology, one-to-one technology, laptops, all that kind of stuff. So we've got to start planning for that. Our food service and different things when we transfer money. Food service is always in the hole, all right? So we're putting money towards food service. It's the same thing kind of with depreciation reserve, except we're replacing equipment, all right, in some cases. So absolutely, I think it's a great question. $375,000 is a lot, but we also lose that focus. Is we almost have 80% of a $25 million budget that's going to salaries and benefits. So that $375,000 that we're putting towards the equipment or general operations is pretty minimal compared when we're already spending close to 80% of salaries and benefits. Does that answer your questions?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Other discussion.
So, Travis, just a couple things, Connie, that I noticed is, you know, we're $128,000 from being a balanced budget. So you've done some good work. Kudos to you. The next thing, when we look at our budget with all of the extras in it, the extra accounts were $35 million. So you've budgeted a lot of money into there, and I look at those, and you've only spent last year about half of that. So even though we have a $35 million budget, it's not going to get there. I just want to point that out.
Yes.
And I appreciate that, Dave, because that's part of our discussion we had last year with the budget. Is we
yeah,
went out there what we have,
balance.
But we didn't, but we necessarily, we are not just going to spend for the sake of spending. So, and I think this year's expenditures kind of reflect that, that we're not just spending for the sake of spending. So.
Anything else? Anybody? Other questions?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to say, Connie, thank you. And yes. And I would not like to say that again, this is something we've gone through line by line and spent hours and hours on, not just at our work session, but in our meetings leading up to tonight. So I don't want people to think that she hands us all this information and no, we're going to vote on it. No, it is not. This has been gone through and through and through. So thank you, Connie. For explaining it all, I appreciate it.
Pass on to the team. It's a big well done. You guys have done great work.
Yeah, and so the budget for me, Connie, gets a little better every year.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Connie, I also would like to tagline off of them. Thanks to you and to your team. The transparency has been phenomenal, the line by line. In my almost 4 years of being on the board, this is the easiest to understand, the most broken out for the layman person to understand, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I fully understand, and I feel like I'm being, as a trustee, fiscally responsible with the taxpayers' money, and through the explanation, you've made my job easier.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'd like to tag on the explanation that Mr. Austin just gave.
So, Charles, I do have a question. So, this budget that we're going to approve is for the next fiscal year or next two fiscal years. Why do they say that in statute?
So, for the next 2 years.
It can be or for the next two fiscal years.
So, the 1 year improving is just for next this coming year.
We didn't prep it, though.
Well, no, if you read the bottom of your deal, it says it shall be in effect for the next fiscal year or two fiscal years.
But
we go by the fiscal, just the
one
fiscal
time.
Right here. If you go to the
budget
adoption, that's what it says.
And
so I'm wondering if you didn't, for some reason, do a budget, then you would follow this budget for the following fiscal year? And Charles, I shouldn't ask that because I'll read that statute.
So the reality for me is we can't approve anything until we have a 100. So we have to do an annual approval of a budget based on the 100 and based on our ADM. So that might be something that if there was a catastrophe that you had to approve something or you approved something because you didn't have a 100. But that historically, I guess I will research, but in the almost 18 years in this type of position, I don't know of a district that approved something for 2 years.
I didn't catch it either. That just pointed it out. I never realized it was there.
So now you got some additional reading.
Hey, we can save time. Let's just do this for next year, too, and call her down, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Connie's going to shoot me. It was a joke. Okay. So, Heidi, help me get the order right. Do we first read this thing and then vote, or do we vote first and then read it?
I just have to read it out loud. It's a resolution. You're passing a resolution and not just a motion.
Okay, so this is the resolution that we're going to vote to approve.
Okay. The Budget Appropriation and Levy Resolution. Whereas on the 8th day of July, 2024, the budget officer filed with the Board of Trustees of Johnson County School District Number 1 a budget message for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025, and whereas a summary of such budget was entered into the board minutes, and a notice of public hearing on such budget together with said summary was published in the Buffalo Bulletin, a newspaper having a weekly circulation in the county in which the district is located, on the 8th day of July, and whereas a public hearing was held concerning such budget on July 8th, 2024 at 6 p.m., at which time all interested parties were given an opportunity to be heard. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Johnson County School District Number 1 that such budget, as revised, if applicable, is hereby adopted and subject to future amendment. It is in effect for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025. Be it further resolved that the following appropriations are made as of and for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025, and that those respective expenditures applicable to each department and fund shall be limited to the amounts hereby appropriated, subject to further amendment. Do I go through the appropriations? Okay. Do I say one?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's the category she's showing.
Okay. So appropriation 01, general fund, in the amount of $25,687,655. Appropriation 1, GF ESSER supplemental, in the amount of $1,315,674. Appropriation 20, special revenue fund, in the amount of $3 million. Appropriation 21, major maintenance, in the amount of $3 million. Appropriation 22, BOCES, in the amount of $250,000. Appropriation 30, capital projects, in the amount of $500,000. Appropriation 31, depreciation special purpose, in the amount of $500,000. Appropriation 40, debt service, in the amount of $75,000. Appropriation 50, nutrition services, in the amount of $875,000.
Sure.
Appropriation 51, teacherage, in the amount of $75,000. Appropriation 60, internal service, in the amount of $100,000, for total appropriations in the amount of $35,378,329. Be it further resolved that after deducting all available cash and estimated revenues, the following amounts must be raised through general taxation, and that such levies are required to provide such amounts hereby authorized as of and for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2025. County and local resources in the amount of $14,750,000, with additional mills to be levied. Johnson County Recreation District for one mill in the amount of $410,000, and Johnson County BOCES for half a mill in the amount of $205,000, for a total of $615,000.
Thank you. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor of approving the resolution and the proposed budget, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay.
We have a budget.
So, Travis, on my behalf as a superintendent, I want to say thank you to the Board of Trustees for your support with this process. Because I want to talk about the journey a little bit. Last year at this time, we were expected to pay back $1.9 million, and we had to get a $3.9 million loan. We were paid almost $6 million back. We had a cash revenue flow of reduction of about 30% monthly. I started this journey 3 years ago with a $1.3 million deficit. It was $700,000 last year. We're down to 120 some thousand now. We're getting closer to maintaining a sustainable budget and start growing. I know there's been some hard discussions. I know there's been some questions. I know there's stakeholders out there that say, what's the big deal? That's a huge deal. I can say we're probably the only district that went through that type of funding and were able to, with cash flows, be able to make it and say we made our last payment of our loan payment back. We've now presented to you a budget that has, we feel at this point in time, that cash flow issue monthly can be resolved with what we've been able to do with ESSER funds. and we can start making some good decisions. This is a reflection of the work that's been done by the team. You've allowed me to put people in place. You've allowed me to adopt a new software, and we're starting to see some of the results of that. So this journey has not been easy, and I'm hoping this will be one of the, in my fourth year, will be a much easier year when it comes to finances. And I really pray that, and I'll just be honest with it, we don't have any major obstacles, because every year there's been a major obstacle.
One smooth one
as far as that goes. So I appreciate your support as a board, because I know there was not a glimmer of light at some point or time, but the light is getting a little bit brighter. Fair?
Yes. Right on. Good work, team. Okay. Next up, policy revisions. And I wrote this one up, you guys. Listen to my wording and see it. Well, I did. With Charles's help and guidance, this is what we came up with. I would entertain a motion to approve the district leadership's recommendation to accept the WSBA board policy audit recommendations for Section A, Foundations and Basic Communication, Section B, Board Governance and Operations, and Section C, General School Administration. This recommendation is for the first reading only and will bring JCSD1 policies up to date with Wyoming School Board policies. Any comments or changes to the current recommendation by the WSBA will be considered before the second reading. All optional recommendations by the WSBA audit will be reviewed by JCSD1 Policy Committee before coming to the board for approval. So, if I can get somebody to say
it. So moved.
I got a motion to do that. Great. Thank you.
Second.
And a second. Now, discussion. This is the heavy-duty homework that we were given.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, we were going with just the recommendations for now, right? Not the optionals.
No optionals at this time. We'll run those through Policy Committee. But we're taking these recommendations that we got to get all of our policies, A, consistent with each other, and B, up to the current standard WSBA is suggesting.
Yep. So, Kristen, with that, we don't even want to delve into the optional stuff. This is just getting the foundation set of what needs to be and change the wording to update some of it.
Additional comments or questions on the policy revisions?
Isn't there a couple that we said we were going to throw out on C?
Correct.
Did we? Was that in the motion?
It is not.
It excluded C, K, A, and C, M.
Yes.
And maybe you should.
Was that in the? Was
yeah,
that
maybe
the
we should have said that. No, I didn't word
so
that specifically.
So I apologize. We could exclude those.
Yeah.
We need to.
So we can
okay.
amend
the motion.
Motion. Yes. Sir.
In Section C, we're going to exclude, somebody say it again for me.
CKA and CM.
CKA and CM.
I apologize, I forgot
that. That's so good. So,
and so that, I would make a motion to approve the amended motion.
Second.
And we got a second over here. Yes, all in favor of approving the amended motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Was it? Did we finish discussion? Did you have something that you were asking?
No, because you we threw those
yeah,
out.
Good.
That's what right. I wanted thrown
yeah.
out. Yeah.
Good
yes.
call. Good catch, you guys.
Yeah,
thank
good
you.
Catch, yeah.
Okay, then all in favor of approving this on policy one reading, policy on first reading, easy for me to
motion.
Say. What's that?
With the amended motion.
With the amended motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Right on. Exclude CKA and CM. All right. Other business from the board.
No, we have to do the WHSAA combo.
Yep.
What did I miss?
C.
You added
I jumped one?
Yeah,
the C
addition.
One.
Oh, sorry. You're right. I wrote
yeah,
it down
school
and then I buried it. Okay. Would entertain a motion to approve the superintendent to approve combination school agreements that don't require money committed. Same thing we did last year with the same verbiage that we used for the 24-25 school year.
So you're just allowing me to approve all combination school agreements without coming to you as a board of trustees as long as there's no additional cost to the district.
So moved.
Okay, so we've got a motion.
Second.
And a second to authorize the super. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Okay, thank you guys. Good catch again. Good thing you guys are watching me tonight. I'm trying to get through this. All right, next up, from the Word. Anybody got anything we need to cover tonight? Hearing none, proposed affordable housing. Charles, would you give us a little rundown on this one?
Heidi, what time did we ask our presenter to be here?
Seven.
They're on.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're 10 minutes slow, but
sorry,
for us, I think that.
I thought there was more than one presenter, so just you.
I think it's just me. But I know, lucky you.
Former BHS grad, by the way.
Yeah. BHS grad.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
You're a good helper.
Brought my help tonight.
Good.
Mr. Chair, Board, thanks for putting me on the agenda. My name is Terry Acey. I've been the city planner and building inspector for about the last 3 years. I guess the thing I'm seeing recurring is a shortage of housing or affordable housing in Buffalo. It's the number one thing I get through my office doors. This will be the second year. Housing Solutions is a company out of Montana. They've recently built two of these complexes you've seen, these apartment complexes in Cody. They just finished one up last year. They've done some in Casper, some in Powell. And so I guess more or less what I'm looking for is what I'm trying to get the city to do is use some of their land to build something similar to what you're seeing on here. I'm here before you to ask you just for your opinion, your support. Where there's proposing this and the land we're proposing that the city do a 99-year lease on city land, and that's a WCDA requirement, is a 99, that's Wyoming Community Development Authority. That's how these guys function. They go to the WCDA and they get a low-income housing tax credit. And so Wyoming has so many this year. Every state gets so many of these tax credits. And then the WCA administers them to groups like Housing Solutions. So Housing Solution goes in with proposal. They say, we've got the land in Buffalo. This is what we're going to build, 24 units. They go through an application process. It's scored. Part of that score is, has Buffalo had anything from the WCDA in a long time? Where is the location? Is it close to schools, supermarkets, stuff like that? And is the city willing to back them? And that doesn't necessarily mean giving them land or doing a lease, but does the city support this? Does the school support this? Any community support, that ranks them higher on that WCDA application. And so they came last year. It was kind of a rush deal. Council denied the proposal for the 99-year lease. And so they've come back this year, same location, same spot. Now it's been kind of through the washboard once, and everyone understands kind of what it is and how it works. And so I'm going to be presenting this to the council on the 16th. This did go before Planning and Zoning Commission the last Tuesday of last month, and it was recommended for approval that council make an action on this to do a lease on it. So I guess what I'm looking for you guys, where this proposed lot is on the corner of Cemetery Road in Burritt, South Burritt. So you know where we keep our dumpsters now, right there on the corner.
It's right there on the dumpsters, right?
Yeah, right there. There's four or five lots there the city owns, so we would combine those if the council would approve it. So this hasn't been approved. This isn't a go thing. This will go before council on the 16th for their final determination on that. We're redoing our comprehensive plan for the city. We're in the final stages of doing our land use plan for this. And so with those things, with the comprehensive plan, we put out a survey to everybody. There were some questions on there regarding housing. One of them being, is there adequate housing for all income levels in Buffalo? 80% said no. Another question was, does Buffalo need more housing? As far as single-family housing, 80% said yes. Do we need more duplexes? condominium units, things like that, 80% said yes. And then do we need more apartments, such buildings like that, 80% said yes on that survey. So it's not that I'm just coming to you to, you know, say, hey, we need housing for no reason. I mean, the results are in, and it's out there.
So I asked Terry, and then I asked if there's somebody else, but there's been several committees, so that's my confusion. And over the last 4 or 5 months, I'll be honest with you, I haven't made the meetings like I should have. So I asked him to come here today and present what the actual proposal is, because there's two sides to every story, right? And understand and be able to ask him questions. Because it's went from affordable housing to workforce housing, and then the conversation is what is low-income housing and what does that look like. So I've had conversations with the hospital about what they need, and we hear the different levels. And one of the big things I've always been here is when my discussion was affordable housing is that recruiting of teachers that I've had in front of you as a board of trustees, because we've had some teachers that we've hired, couldn't find a house, and then they turned in their letter and said, hey, I can't come. Right? So that definition of affordable housing, workforce housing, Terry explained, well, it is affordable housing is workforce housing. Where's that difference? So I appreciate him coming tonight, but there are three different versions of conversations that are happening out there. It's not a decision that we as a district have to make.
No.
It's just feedback that's in front of the city and kind of clarify some verbiage and what the definition of a verbiage is compared to affordable housing. Or I thought the new term was workforce housing. That was the one that on the committee that I sat on, I thought that's where we were going. But again, there's just a discussion, what's workforce and what's affordable. So thank you for coming tonight and presenting and maybe asking some questions. Okay?
Sure.
But you're not taking action tonight. I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
This is not an action item.
So yeah, so I think what you're referring to is the JCCF Foundation that was recently formed, Johnson County Community Foundation, which is a whole other board, which I'm a liaison to, basically, or I just try to give help when I can on any topics they have. So this went before them. Their board recommended approval to the city in hopes they would approve this. That's a whole different group. It's nothing to do with the city. It's its own nonprofit, basically, that's trying to get something started in Buffalo for housing. Now, the terms affordable housing, workforce housing, they all go hand in hand. So when you talk about workforce housing, so this could be workforce housing. It might not be for your certified pay, but you have, you know, your food staff, your groundskeepers, your janitors, your, you know, someone may fit into this as workforce housing. Like I said, it may not, if you look down through what the cost would be, where you qualify, you know, one person making $40,000 qualifies one of these units. A mom with a kid can make $45,000, and a mom with two kids, you know, and the list goes up from there. So, you know, it may not target the certifies, which you're having trouble keeping or trying to find housing to. Another thing to keep in mind is when you bring units in like this, there's nowhere in Buffalo for the elderly to downsize to. I mean, if you look at that, you have elderly people wanting to downsize, and there's really nowhere to downsize. And so when you get that demographic moving, it's freeing up housing. It's a big circle. And so if you got people that just don't want to own a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom home anymore and looking for somewhere else to go, and they're on a fixed income or Social Security or whatever it may be, this may fit the bill, you know. So it's not just for the low-income people. I mean, it shifts everything when you start adding housing that's in the lower income and also smaller in size. With something like this, there's no maintenance, nothing like that. That's all kept up by the HOA. These guys will have an on-site. They reserve one unit for a on-site manager. And so right now, this is what we're looking at. There is a missing middle, and I think that's where Charles is talking about, and that's that range 300 to 400, you know, and I mean, we have plenty of houses from 400 to 600 to a million to above. There's a missing middle ground there, and no one seems to be able to solve that right now. The federal government does not, or the state government doesn't have any kind of funding for that missing middle, and that's just the facts. There's no grants, there's no nothing like that that you can go in for that missing middle. Yeah. It's got to be lower income. It's got to be, if you're talking the grants and the tax credit programs and all that, there is nothing for that in the middle.
So these are their parameters.
this is their parameters. Yes, this is according. This is actually according to WCDA. So okay. WCDA sets these restrictions on what they can charge based on the income.
So it would still definitely leave kind of that middle class.
Right there.
In alert.
Yeah, yeah, it does. But you know, like I said, there's no real solution to that as of right now. There's no funds out there for that right now.
Open up some of these houses, though.
It could. And I'm not promising that, but it could. I mean, you got to look at it as a big picture. Everything starts moving. You know, and like I said, it is workforce. It's just, you know, which workforce are we targeting?
Terry, what you said about the elderly and they want to downsize from their 3 to 4 bedroom home, well, when they sell that, what kicks them out of this because their income's too high. So my next question to you is, what changed from when council denied this last year? What has changed from then to now?
Time. So council's thing was it was a push, and they did. These guys showed up in, I believe it was late July, and their or maybe it was even the first meeting in August. The application is due by September 1st to WCDA. And so it was. It was rushed. It was a rushed thing, and that was their feedback, is this was too quick. It was brought on too quick. So we've played through this whole year, still on the table, and so I'm hoping that changes their mind a little bit.
So why is private enterprise, why won't it work for them?
Why won't what work for them?
Why won't this building affordable housing for private enterprise work?
Why isn't the free market generating things like this?
Because it's going to take money. It's going to take federal money, big money. And this is done through
these. But there's people out there with big money.
But there's no one coming forward. I mean, we can say that all day long, and I've heard that from contractors say, give me land. Well, that's not what we're doing. These guys will have $25,000 in out-of-pocket just to turn in the application. They have to produce a private housing study. And so they're not going to start any of that until they say, we have this chunk of land. Now, these guys have gone out and looked for land on their own to purchase in Buffalo. I've kept in contact with them. They've offered up some money on a few parcels. It's just they can't make it work for what people are asking for raw land in Buffalo. It doesn't pencil out. So these guys can't cash flow 12 units. 24 units is pushing it for them to cash flow. That's the minimum size they can go because anything smaller just will not cash flow. So they've gone out, they've looked at, you know, just securing land through loans or using their own funds. This is just an option. And like I said, if the city were to do this, this is going to shoot us to the top of the WCDA rankings. It's going to be a sure win. I mean, this is going to push Buffalo up there. You know, the more communities support it has, and you have someone saying, yes, the city will give you a 99-year lease on this property to do this, at which time, if they were to say yes, 99 years, they would have the option to keep the property with the units on it, the city, or they would have the first right of refusal to buy that back from the city after the 99 years. So
is the city eligible just by the median income already for this type of project?
So that's all from their general basics, preliminary stuff. Yes, Buffalo is qualified. That's why they're hitting here. And these aren't the other guys. There's three other companies that are looking at Buffalo the same way. They all can't. We've met with them at the JCCF has met with all three of them. None of them are. They're all looking at Buffalo. They all think Buffalo is a good spot for the WCDA just because of. The surrounding areas have all gotten the WCDA last year. Cody, Powell, Casper, Torrington, all these other towns have gotten these WCDA funds. So Buffalo is kind of sitting out there for four. They're up, basically. Mm-hmm. They're sitting in the batter circle for these WCDA tax funds. So, you know, it's just like I said, all I'm going by is the feedback I get from the surveys we put out and from what I hear from people. This is not Section 8 housing. This is not government-subsidized housing. You don't pay your rent, you're gone. The government doesn't pay your rent. You know, so I get a lot of these scares. Oh, it's affordable housing. It's going to be horrible and, you know, crime-ridden and everything else. This works a little different. WCA keeps a close watch on these properties. And I believe location, where they put these, has a big success rate of where they go and how much crime and kind of stuff that you see with it, these go. You know, this kind of goes along, you know, with your mission, make school, you know, whatever for all kids. I mean, this is going to cut your busing costs down. If you're asking me from a planner's point, you plan your big developments around schools. In fact, when you see a big subdivision, usually they leave a space, and we're not talking Buffalo, but bigger cities, when they develop housing development, they leave a space for schools. Because you build around schools, because it cuts down your busing costs, it cuts down on all those things. You got everything right close, walking distance, after school sports. So from the planning world, you put your big high density developments around that. If you look at our land use plan from 2007, that whole area is slated for medium to high density residential. We're currently redoing our land use plan. Should be wrapped up this month, but that has also been slated the same way, high-density residential, because that's just smart planning. You plan high-density development around your schools. So I guess, you know, I guess if you guys feel that's a bad spot, good spot, whatever your feelings may be on it, if the board would, you know, at some point like to write a letter of approval, disapproval, just weigh your thoughts on it. Whatever they may be, and I can present those to council at some point if everyone wanted to write an individual letter or come together and write one, or and that would serve two purposes. If it was positive, that would go along with their application going into WCDA, you know, that the school supported the location. If not, we'll have to tell them you didn't. So
hit the date again for me. When would you need such a letter?
So I'm going to present this council on the 16th, next Tuesday, this month.
July.
Yeah. Or next week.
Yeah, that's going to be a fast turnaround for us.
I do have a quick question, Terry, and
sure.
I don't know that you could really answer. But I'm assuming, like, with picking all the properties, they've done evaluation of all the city-owned properties and all the spaces. And, like, I understand, like, building around schools, like, mitigating those costs and all those things. And within the city planning and within the planning of the of what we're going forward with, roads are obviously like top and priority, because that area, you just heard me talk tonight about the
sure.
crosswalks and all those things.
Sure.
And so, there's on that cemetery road, there's no sidewalks. And like, you know, I want to be sure that, like, we're looking at building that, but we also need to, like, pay attention to the surrounding areas and, like, the roads and, like, and the infrastructure and, like, you know, the water and all the things. I mean, I'm sure, but I
right.
just like to ask. I just,
right.
I mean, I would hope, but then,
yeah.
you know, we...
And so, yeah, that's a...
I don't want to get to a point where it's like, oh, well, nobody looked into the water and, oh... Well, it's sinking right there on Cemetery Road, or you know
right.
what I mean?
Right. No. So these guys have to go through all those tests, all the geotech tests.
And that's part of your that's your job,
right? And that kind of stuff. As far as the road and infrastructures, you know, that's all on our CIP. I believe Cemetery Road's on our capital improvements plan for 2027. It's probably going to get bumped up, to be honest with you,
yeah,
because it's crumbling, and so we're looking at doing a similar thing like we did on Klondike. On to Cemetery Road, and they put a hardener in there, so kind of an overlay on that and redoing it. Like I said, it's on our CIP, but it's probably going to get bumped just because the way it's going right now. So, we do look at that. We did a safe routes to school study a few years ago.
Good.
I paid for paid for all the sidewalks on Burritt and Conrad and all of those.
Yeah.
So.
And then added a bike lane to cemetery, that same project.
Yep. So,
well, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah,
so
right.
Rally markers.
Yeah,
really
yeah. And so, I mean, that's.
Painted a line.
I agree. We do need to look at all of that and that. Looking at Cemetery Road, that's another reason I think that's a great spot for this, is because you go out Cemetery Road instead of, you know, the traffic. You got two ways out to
the
main
street.
Well,
then all of a sudden
we're
going to hit a highway too,
right?
Right. So that's just, I mean.
Yep, yep.
And traffic, and I mean, I'm just going to say it, I live in that area.
Right.
I hit that spot, and you can sit there for a while.
Sure.
Like, you don't.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that that's on the radar. Like,
absolutely.
Like, that we're looking at all the things. I mean, I'm with Dave. I agree with free enterprise. But I understand people are struggling, too. And so, yeah, I appreciate bringing that forward.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And one of my questions that I had the other night was, like, what was the difference between affordable housing and
workforce.
And so you answered that.
Like
so,
I said, they're interchangeable, yeah. So that's what makes it difficult. This is affordable as in WCDA standards. Yep. They set the limits and they set the prices.
And so they're the ones that, like, so the Housing Solutions is the guy that builds it, but then WCDA is, like, the manager.
Correct.
They set the HOAs. They set all the parameters as far as, like, what goes in.
Yep, and then they do, I don't know how many, monthly or
whatever.
Half every 6 months they do updates and checks on them and make sure
okay.
That, like I said, a full housing study will have to be submitted from these guys even to turn in with the application. So there's a lot of legwork that goes involved. It's not just fill out a form. And that's why you don't see Free Enterprise coming in here and do this. These guys specialize in these kinds of things. It's a very long, drawn-out process, and it takes reports and studies and everything else. So when you get caught, and I've had contractors say, well, give me the land and we'll do it. Well, that's not what we're doing here. It is an option to lease here is what we're talking about
yeah.
also. If they don't get the WCDA funding, the lease is gone. It's just void.
In the direction of this building, will it be facing south? Is that what is our understanding?
It'll be facing west. So it'll sit long. It'll east sit east. East or
it'll actually be on Burr.
North and south.
It'll be
yeah.
built north.
Gotcha.
South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't think of anything off the top of my head, so it's probably a dumb question, but Buffalo and kind of the surrounding area doesn't have anything that would maybe be contaminated or need cleanup that could get, like, brownfield money?
Not that I know of.
Like, I can't think of anything that...
That's where it's hard. It's hard to find anything different than these special funds that are out there for this lower... I'm hoping working with the community foundation that they can start doing some benefits and fundraisers and start raising some of their own money, and then also putting in for some of the 1% money and stuff like that they can use for housing projects and maybe for that missing middle. And that's the only way that's going to get done is I think through private donations and nonprofits that are gonna do that kind of thing for the missing middle grounds anyway. So
the recommendation came from that Johnson County Community Foundation.
Yeah,
is that endorsed by the city council, or is that
not necessarily? No, so they're kind of their own private.
They kind of just started their own.
They're a 501c. They started under the recommendation of council and the county commissioners. It was kind of a the city doesn't want to constantly have to deal with every housing thing that comes to them. The county doesn't want to have. So they formed under it was under the city that they formed it. I mean, the city doesn't say this is a city. Group. It's not like the Trails Board or anything like that. This is
okay.
a 501c.
Okay.
On that board or on that liaison to that, you have Scott Mattson, Councilman Mattson, and then from the county, you have Jeff Shelley on that. They're kind of liaisons to
for
that
the,
group.
For the county.
For the Johnson County Community Foundation.
Okay.
Has Bomber Mountain come up as an option?
No, it hasn't, no. That's a touchy subject. It comes up a lot, but not as housing. More or less, should we knock it down or keep it? No, it hasn't come up as a housing.
Mr. Tracy, the new fuel station that's coming into Buffalo no doubt had to do some studies about housing and employment. What did they come up with?
They never released what they came up with or how they figured it, but they figured that they can come up with the employees they need. I think they're looking at I went up to Hardin, it's going to be about the same one as Hardin, and I talked to their general manager, because there was talk that they need 60 employees or something like that. So I stopped in there when they had a chat with him. About 16 full-time employees is what they're going to need, which, well, I guess, where do you get those? But
at one time, they said 30 to
40. Yeah.
It doesn't sell there as good if you got 16.
Wow. Right, yeah. So I think about 16 full-time employees. There will be a restaurant in there. It'll be 24-hour, fueling station. So they've figured somehow they can make it work.
So they Buffalo had the housing and stuff available, they felt like, for these employees that they
think they can get the employees that have the housing already. So whether they're going to offer more money than the next guy down the road, or what it may be. But I can't answer that of how they figured that.
I didn't know if they shared the studies.
No, they haven't. No. So yeah, that is coming. That will be. I think they have a set date of December 19th for finish date on that. So
what year?
Well, thank you.
This year, December 19th is okay. What they're saying. Yeah, and so
don't hold your breath.
I read it.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys putting me on the agenda. So thank you,
Terry. I want to say thanks for coming.
Sure.
And clarifying some of the misperceptions or terminology that I think is out there. So. As a board, if they write a letter as a board as a whole, that's the way it would be presented. You as individuals want to write something as a community member to support that, that's a different story. But that's a discussion. If you want to write a letter as a board as a whole, that would be something you want by next Tuesday. Is that what I hear?
If you can do it. I mean, yeah. That's a lot to ask
but
for,
you
I know.
Still, you could still write individual as a community member stakeholder if you would like. Fair?
Fair.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. So, I do have one question. So, if they do this and they do the study, will we have access to that study?
To the housing study?
Yeah,
I believe they'd give it to us. Yeah, and I could probably say that's part of the conditions if we do the 99-year lease on that. You may have also seen you can get on WCDA's website. They just published the 2022 study. It's the same as 2022, but it just got published. And so, it's interesting to read that because they're saying the same thing, that Buffalo is short on housing. So they've gone through each county and kind of done their own study as far as the housing assessment goes. And so if anyone you'd like to get on that, on the WCDA's website and check that study out, and it should be under their housing, 2022 housing assessment for Wyoming. Quite lengthy, but you can just pick out Johnson County and read
and it,
there.
And it might be too much of a detailed question. You can just say, Charles, be quiet. So the household income range, I'm assuming it's based on a formula based on what's happening in Buffalo, or is that just a national rate that establishes what that is? Because is there a potential of that going up to get more people in, or a potential of that going down? Is there an annual review of what qualifies people or not?
Right, so that changes every year.
Every year.
Yeah, okay. With their application process, they'll say these are the new numbers for qualifying for a unit. And like I said, these are income-based units, so again, there's a little change there. Say I make $50,000, you make $40,000. We both have a two-bedroom apartment. I may pay $200 more a month than you pay. It's based on income. So, you know, the same apartment may cost one guy more than the other guy, just based off of their income. So, it's not a set. Everyone pays $400 a month or whatever. It's all income based.
So, Terry, help me to read. So, I'm looking at household income range, and I'm going to look at the fourth person.
Sure.
So, you can make $28,600. To $57,000, because that's a huge disparity there for the same house. So
correct.
Am I reading that correct?
You're reading it, and that's where if you made the 28, your rent's going to be $300 less a month than mine if I made the 57. So yeah, you still qualify between those whole ranges, but that's where the flex and the difference in the rent comes from. Yep.
That's a pretty good.
Yeah, there's a big band there. I mean, it fits a lot of people. Like I said, it may, as far as your certified workers, not quite work. The missing middle is still the missing middle, unfortunately.
Let me just ask you this, Terry. In private enterprise, I mean, if you've got somebody that's not paying their rent, it almost takes an act of God to get them kicked out. And so you're telling me with these that will not be the case?
No, this is not Section 8. I mean, it's the same. You know, I don't know what the laws are on that, but it's, you know, you've got to give them their due.
Well, dude, during COVID, you
get out. Right. And
they didn't have to pay you, and they still don't have
to pay you. I think some of that's changed. I could get some of those answers from these guys and pass them along to you guys, but, you know, like I said, they've done this. They just finished one in Cody. They've done two in Cody now. And so I don't think they have that problem because these guys make money off it. So,
absolutely.
You know, they're here to make money. I'm not going to lie. So they're going to put them up. They're going to give these tax. What they do is they go to a bank. If they win the application, they get X amount of tax credits. They take these tax credits to someone that has a big tax liability, like a bank, a big corporation. The big corporation trades them money for these tax credits. And so whoever they give these tax credits is funding the operation. at the end of the day, Housing Solutions owns that building. They manage it and they cash flow it. That's how they off their cash flow. That's how they make money.
So how does the government make their money up? Because they lost out on what they should get from that company for income tax, because that's what a tax credit is. So they lost out on hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. How does the government recoup that?
They don't. That's just it. That's see the federal government gives so many of these tax credits to every state. And so it's through the federal funds. They give X amount to Wyoming, X amount to Montana, and then they're distributed through WCDA.
Has that always been the case, and will it change with a presidency?
Right. I can't answer that. I believe that's the way these the low income tax credits always been.
Well, we've gone through a lot of different ones. So has it changed in the last 20 years?
No, I believe the low income tax credit program has always been that way. It's that you get.
And I don't know if they change it because, like for me, they write a farm bill, and they write a farm bill every 4 to 5 years. Okay, and that does change, and it doesn't have to do with the presidency. That's just it. They change, and the money dollars change, so I was curious.
Right, and it very well could. I mean, you know, government, they could take them away tomorrow, I guess. You know, if you're looking at that way. But I don't think this program has changed in a long time.
So it's stable is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's very stable. Like I said, these guys they've done multiple of them over the last 10 years in Wyoming.
So Gillette has numerous ones of these. Are those all privately funded?
Nope. There's WCA ones in Gillette. I don't want to misquote it, but I think Hahn Development, that's another company that does this, they did them in Gillette. Yeah, and so there's a company out of Casper, and they've used WCDA funds. They all use these WCDA funds. Some years they may, there may be 10 applications to WCDA, and some years there may be 3. They usually award 2 projects, you know, max. And so, like I said, it's where you rank on that scale on the WCDA application.
So I'm getting into the nitty-gritty. But I want to know.
Right.
Because, it's hard for me to support something if I don't know.
No. Yeah.
So how much do they kick in?
Do they put in? And so whatever they can't get out of tax credits, they have to finance. And so whatever...
How much can they get out of tax credits? Is there a limit?
I don't know that number. Yeah, there is a limit.
Well,
I mean, the tax credits are only worth so much. Yeah, and so it may not finance this project 100%. I think he said 20 to 30% is what they'll have to invest of the entire project.
All right, guys, if we need additional information, anybody feel free to go to a meeting of the...
City Council.
That has something to do with this and not school board.
Or planning and zoning.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Terry, what time's the meeting?
City Council is at 5 o'clock on the 16th.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, training and barbecue, July 25. Charles, you got anything to tell us about this? Or
we need a head count on who thinks they can make it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. So that agenda you have in front of you, that looks like there's going to be between 30 and 35 people with board members, superintendent, business managers for the barbecue that evening. So I'm going to expect between 35 and probably 60 people for the training in that afternoon. I'm excited for that for several reasons, that you as a board will sit with other boards when we talk about some of the new laws coming down from Scott. And address board meetings, and so there's going to be a lot of collaborative things through those trainings that day. So you do have that schedule. If you'd like me to resubmit that schedule to you, I will. But the 25th is ready to roll. Where looks like we're going to have probably a barbecue of ribs and maybe lakanka with some side salads for that evening. I've talked with Travis. And once we get with Shane, we'll probably assign board members to other tables with other board members so we can have discussion at the barbecue also and just create that collaborative time. So it is a pretty high-level training, but more excitingly, we're doing with other boards. So we'll see how this falls together over the next couple weeks.
Who did you bring in to lead the training?
So Scott Kopicki is coming in to do the training,
legal,
and Kevin Mitchell.
WSBA lawyer?
WSBA attorney, and then Kevin Mitchell, who is the outgoing director of WASA has been doing these board level trainings in a couple other districts, so we decided to bring them in. So we've invited Peak, we've invited Bridget, our legal counsel, both of them, to attend the barbecue, but we have our nurses, I've invited our principals and administration or leadership from other districts to attend the actual legal training that he's putting on starting at 2:30. Okay? But yes, it's going to be a non-typical barbecue PD day that we've experienced in the last 3 years. It's going to be a little bit higher level. So.
And we're doing this one at Cloud Peak?
At Cloud Peak.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have to be the one to ask. I don't know where the agenda is.
Is there a link in the...
Would you resubmit it?
Yeah, I'll resubmit it to you.
I found his board report.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you hit the link and it comes open.
I've got to be staring right at it. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, job descriptions, new rollout.
So just to inform you as a board of trustees, we talked a little bit about a work session to be open to the public, is the work that EMS did with establishing the job descriptions. Those are effective this month, and then we'll start clicking away on those and making the needed changes. But all that work, we're just moving the ball off the shelf and moving forward with it and the job description piece. So Heidi's been trained on that, so as we need to, if there is any individual updates or what I want to say, typing errors in those job descriptions, we're going to start to make this happen. So the work that we put in with EMS for job descriptions is effective as of July, right now, 2024. So anyway, that's where we're at.
Excellent. Do they go out on the website? Is that where you find them?
Yes.
We will, yes.
Okay. Okay, August work session.
August 7th.
And are we going to call that one a special meeting?
Yes.
Do the goal setting and superintendent finish the evaluation?
And also for the new board member. I don't see that on here.
Yeah, good call.
So we will pick that candidate.
Yeah, but it should be on here that that's other business that we...
It was under the consent.
Yeah, I think
so. Oh, it's under consent. I'm sorry. Consent. Thank you.
Yep.
So we're going to... They're going to advertise.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll get some interest. We'll have a special meeting, right?
Yes.
And then we will keep that person so they're ready to rock and roll.
Yep.
Good.
Get them live for August.
That sounds great.
Okay, but we're going to limit topics on that one. Just the two things then, right?
So our budget amendment will be real quick. They'll go over that.
Okay.
You'll go through the applications, and then we'll go through my evaluation goal setting, correct?
Right.
Yes, and there'll be an executive session.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the August?
August board meeting.
12th, thank you.
Sure. All right. Anything else from the board on any of these? Okay. Last thing, we'll go into executive session for a brief update. So per WS 16-4-405, Personnel and Legal Matters, the board will do a short executive session, and we will...
Will there be any... There will not be any
action
after this?
Not
okay, thank you.
To best of my knowledge, no.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.